glad to be back in the pulpit again. This is what I do. We're going to continue in our series on the I Ams of Christ. Well, when we started, Jesus declared, I am the bread of life, meaning that without him, you don't have life. There's no life outside of Jesus Christ being in us. He is the bread of life. Then he also said, I'm the light of the world. Thank God when you get saved, you come into the light and you can see what the world's all about. You can see how to live. You can see how to walk because you're no longer blinded in the darkness. Then the last time I was in the pulpit, I brought to you, Jesus said, I'm the door. And he's the door because he's the only way to be saved. There's only one door you're going to go through to receive eternal life, and that is through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But so far through these I Ams, what we're going to get is a better glimpse of the character of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's why he kept saying, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm this. Why? It's because he wants us to understand everything about him, all his characteristics. So the next I Am Jesus reveals to us tells us just how close he is to all of us. And especially those who are born again of the Spirit of the living God. You know, God comes into us. Jesus told his disciples, he says, you know, up until this time, the Holy Spirit has been with you. They knew it because they was doing miracles. He said, but there's going to come a time where he's going to be in you. See, there's a difference. There's a difference in knowing who God is and then knowing that God is now living in you. See, that's when you're born again. So it ultimately shows us how intimately involved Jesus is with his people. See, in every aspect of our lives, he's not just intimate with us when we come here, but he's intimate with us every day, every second of our life. When we're on our jobs, when we're at home, whatever we are doing, he is intimately involved in our life. And so the next I Am Jesus claimed to be, he says, I am the good shepherd. And I want to go to John chapter 10, verse 11. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand. He cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. So Jesus declares here that he is the good shepherd. That's wonderful. The good shepherd reveals his character to us, and one of the greatest expressions of his character, King David realized it, all the aspects of this shepherd of his, and he wrote a psalm. And I ended the last message I brought to you with Psalm 23, but I want to read it again because here is the revelation of a man who had a relationship with God that understood how good of a shepherd he really is. So when we read this, we see that David had a revelation of what Jesus said, that I am the good shepherd. David got it in the Old Testament. David was the only one, I believe, had a clear view of the New Testament. Because the way he wrote and the things that he said brought revelation to the New Testament. Remember the first time I read the book of Psalms when I first got saved, I said, this book's out of place. This book needs to be in the new covenant because it talks about the new covenant life. But David wrote in Psalm 23, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me into the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Then in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11, it says, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms, carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. See, there are three titles in the Word of God that is given to the Lord as a shepherd. In our text that we just read, he says he is the good shepherd. Why? Because he lays down his life for the sheep. In other words, he's willing to give up his life for those that belong to him, for his sheep. So he is the good shepherd. In the book of Hebrews, he's called the great shepherd. Why? Because not only he gave his life for the sheep, but he came back to life again. See, he rose again. So he is the great shepherd. He's not only a shepherd that can lay down his life, but he's a shepherd that can take up his life again. So he's the great shepherd. He rose from the dead. In 1 Peter, he's called the chief shepherd. The chief shepherd because he is the chief of all shepherds, and he's coming back. That's what Peter was saying. He's the chief shepherd. He's coming back. And guess who he's coming back for? He's coming back for his sheep. That's you and I. So in our text, Jesus compares himself to a hired hand who is watching over the sheep. See, the hired hand is only a shepherd because he's getting paid to do it. See, it's his job, his occupation. It's his livelihood that he is watching the sheep. But the scripture says that he's only a hired hand. He's in it for the money. And I hate to tell you that. They got a lot of people standing behind this pulpit that's only in it for the money. The problem with those who are only in it for the money, that when danger comes, they run. When trouble comes, they abandon the sheep. They don't care about the sheep. They got some denominations. I was in one. That they were only behind the pulpit until they could find a better church or a bigger church that would hire them. I want to tell you something. God called me to this church. I was pastoring on the other side of town. And God called me here. I didn't want to come here. I didn't want to go to Chalmette. I already built a church in River Ridge. But God called me to come. And when this church took me, I didn't even know how much they were going to pay me till 2 weeks later. I told my wife, Sister Dawn, said, well, how much are they going to pay? I said, I don't know. All I know is I got to be here. See, and so thank God this church is taking care of me and my wife. I'm not complaining. All I'm doing is I'm telling you, I didn't come here because they had a figure that they were flipping, but in front of my face. I didn't even know. But I want to tell you here that I want to make you aware of one thing, that this church right here is not paying my salary. This church is not big enough to support a pastor. Our other two churches that we have are supporting me so I can minister to you. One day when this church gets big enough, then I'll relieve them. They don't have to do that anymore. But right now, I just want to tell you, I'm not here because you're paying me. You're not paying me. I'm here because God called me to come here to do this. And when the church grows enough, then it's your responsibility to take care of me and my wife. If we're going to preach to you and teach you and be shepherds over you, then you need to support us. Right now, you can't do that. And I'm not saying you need to do it. But that's your responsibility. It's a church's responsibility to take care of those who are the spiritual shepherds over them. Where they're, see, there's no one in this ministry. I want to tell you, I'm the senior overseer of this ministry. We have three churches. I'm the senior overseer. There's not one person in this ministry that is here because of a paycheck. The two pastors I assigned to the church in Chalmette and the one in Covington, both of those men gave up good paying jobs and security to do this. They're not hired men, I want to tell you that. They're not hireling. In fact, everyone in this ministry is not here because of the salary. If they were, they wouldn't be here for long. In fact, we have shepherds. We got good shepherds here. I don't care where. What church you go to here. If they aren't staff here, they're not here because we pay them so much money. They're not. They're here because God has called them to do this. See, I know hirelings when I see them. When I talk to them, Holy Spirit reveals to me they're hirelings. They don't love the sheep. I had to fire two of them in this ministry since I've been here because I found out they were only here because of the salary. They didn't love the sheep. The way they treated the sheep, I knew they didn't care for the sheep. I had to let them go. But a good shepherd is not a hireling. They're not here because of the money. They're here because they love God's people. They love the sheep. They love what belongs to God. That's what they love. So a good shepherd reveals that he cares. That's what it's all about. In John chapter 10, verse 3, it says, "The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listens to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." There are four things that are revealed here that shows that a good shepherd cares. First of all, he speaks to his sheep, and his sheep listens. Right now, you're listening to your pastor, who is a shepherd. I am preaching to you. Now, if you're not listening to me, then I'm not your shepherd. I'm not your pastor. If you don't listen to me as I preach the word, if I'm instructing you in the word of God, and I'm correcting you in the word of God, and you get upset with me, and you leave, I'm not your shepherd. In fact, you need to go find one. You need to go find one who you can listen to. You need to find one who can instruct you. You need to find one who cares about you. The sheep listen to their shepherd because he's feeding them the word of God and caring for them. That's what the good shepherd does. And the sheep listen to their shepherd because he's feeding them. He's preaching to them. He's teaching them. He's instructing them. He's leading them. You see, the voice they should be hearing is not their pastor's voice, but they need to be hearing the good shepherd's voice coming through him to them. That's why the word of God must be preached. That is the voice of God coming to you from the word. That is God who is speaking. So the voice you should be hearing is from the chief shepherd. I'm an under shepherd. He's my shepherd too. The second thing the good shepherd does is that he calls his sheep by name, not by number. See, he knows your name. We're not just another body here on the face of the earth. God created you. Believe it or not, you're not your own. He created you. You didn't ask to come here. He brought you here. He created you. And if he created you, then he knows who you are. And he knows your name. In fact, when you come to him and you get born again, your name gets written down in heaven, in the book of life. The Lord said, he's mine. She's mine. Put her name down. Not everybody's name is in there. Remember that old hymn we used to sing? There's a new name written down in heaven. It's mine. Because I came to Jesus. So God knows your name. See, the shepherd knows your name. When we were in Chalmette and the church got to 600 people, I didn't know everybody's name. But one of my people knew their name. One of my leaders knew their name. But there was too many people for me to remember everybody's name. They would meet me in Walmart or Winn-Dixie, and they'd say, hey, Pastor Carl, and I'm looking at them. Hi, how you doing? I don't know who they are. But I want to tell you, there is a good shepherd who knows your name. See, in Jeremiah chapter 1, the Lord told Jeremiah, that Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. I know my mother didn't know when she gave birth to me that one day I'd be preaching this gospel, but God knew. God knew why Carl Catalinato was born 74 years ago. God knew me before I was even in my mother's womb. God knew you, okay? The Lord told Jeremiah he knew him before he created him in his mother's womb. In that case, how much more does he know us now? If he knew us then, how much more does he know us now? See, the problem is that it's not a problem that God doesn't want a relationship with us, because he already knows us. The problem is we need a relationship with him. See, we have to have it in us to want to have a relationship with God, because God already knows you. He knows if you are rejecting him. He knows if you are disobeying his word. He knows that. And you can't hide it. He knows every thought. He knows every action. He knows everything about you. And he wants you to know him that way. So it's all about us wanting a relationship with our shepherd. It's hard to imagine how in our finite minds that billions of people on the earth, can you imagine that? And that God knows every one of them? Billions. Come on. Billions of people out there, and God knows each and every one. The third thing the Good Shepherd reveals is that he cares. He leads his sheep out. In John chapter 10, verse 4, it says, when he brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. See, the Good Shepherd leads out because he knows where the green pastures are. He knows where the water is. He knows where everything that sustains your life is. And he wants to lead you there into the abundant life. Well, as a pastor, that is my goal. I want to preach the word of God to you to where you will know where to go to find the things to sustain your life and to have abundant life. I am to lead you there. Remember, you're not cattle. Cattle need to be driven because they want to go their own way. They want to just take off and go. That's why cattle have to be driven. But sheep have to be led. See, pastors are not cattle drivers. They are shepherds who lead. And the only way you can lead people, sheep, God's sheep, is that they got to want to hear your voice. They got to want to hear. I can tell you, when we first got saved, and I got saved under a great pastor. He's going on to be with the Lord. But I loved him. I loved him. He was a Texan, but I still loved him. He's a big, tall guy, big feet, just beautiful feet. And I just loved him. He was over my head a lot of times because he was very educated. He wasn't like me. I'm trying to speak common language to you. He was educated. And we had to come to church with a Bible and a dictionary. If you want to understand what he said, well, what did he say? But anyway, he was a good pastor. I wanted to hear him. I didn't like when other preachers came, when they invited other preachers. I wanted to hear my pastor. I wanted to hear him speak. And because he was my pastor. He protects his sheep is what the scripture says. He sustains your life. The sheep must be led by shepherd. They're not cattle. They're not driven. See, I have to show you the love of Christ. I have to show it to you. It has to come through me. You have to see the love of Christ coming through me as a shepherd. I have to show you the love of Christ in me so that you can believe that the Lord loves you. See, we have to see the love of God in someone. See, we have to see that. We have to see it. See, so sheep depend on their shepherd for their well-being. And I want to tell you something. I am responsible for you. That's the way it is. See, the good shepherd goes before the sheep because the shepherd knows what's ahead. See, I know what's ahead when people make decisions. When they make the wrong decisions, I can tell you where you're heading. I tell them. Many times they listen, many times they don't. And when they don't listen, I see the path. And when they end up there, that's what they get. That's why God has given shepherds to help people in their life to make the right decision according to the way they... I think, no, according to what God says. According to what the good shepherd says. You see? So the good shepherd goes before the sheep because he knows what's ahead. You see, we've been Christians long enough, me and my wife, to know that when I see somebody in the condition of their life, we've been there. I've been there. We've been lost. We've been in the world. We've been in there. We've been deceived. We've been there. So when I see people in that condition, I can lead them out of there because I used to be there. People think when they see a pastor that they grew up in church. Well, this one didn't. This one had 27 years of darkness in the world. 27 years. So I can tell you when you're in darkness, you need to come out. Because I've been there. The fourth thing is the good shepherd is that he's not a hired hand. And the hired hand is not the shepherd. He does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. See, the good shepherd, that's Jesus Christ. There's no one good but him. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd, and he owns the sheep. Guess what? I don't own you. I didn't pay the price for you. He paid the price for you. He laid down his life for you. He owns you. He owns me. But he protects the sheep. That's what I do. I got to protect the sheep from the wolves that try to destroy the sheep. That's my job. I got to come against a wolf that tries to destroy the sheep. I've had to do it many, many times. I've had to combat them, had to put them out to church because they were a wolf that was trying to destroy people in the church. I had to put them out. Why? Because I'm the shepherd. I got to protect the sheep that God has entrusted me to. You don't belong to me, but it's been given, I've been given the responsibility to care for you. That's my responsibility. I've been doing it for 38 years. That's my responsibility. I didn't ask for it. I didn't choose this job. You can ask my wife. I never talked to her about going into ministry. God called me. I answered. Still answering. But my job is to protect. Some people don't like it, but I do it anyway. Good shepherd reveals his love in John 15, 13. Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. There is no more a person can do. Once you give your life for someone, that's the greatest expression of love. You can't do any more than that. There's no more you can give. There's more, no more expression of your love for someone than to lay down your life. That is the ultimate expression of love for all times. John 10, 11, Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. See, the ministry of Jesus, when he came, was primarily to the Jewish people. They were the only ones that had the word of God. They're the only ones that had the promises of God that a Messiah was even coming. They were the only one. So when Jesus came, he had to go to the Jewish people first. He had to reveal himself to the Jewish people first because they were the only ones that was expecting him according to the scriptures, according to the Old Testament. So Jesus had to go to them first, even after the crucifixion, even after his resurrection, even after his ascension into heaven, he commanded the church to go preach the gospel, but they went to the Jews first. Why? Because they were the only ones that was expecting the Messiah. Look what Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. The gospel had to go to the Jews first. The good shepherd wants to be the shepherd of all the people he created. God wants everyone. In fact, the Bible says the Father don't want to see anybody lost. God doesn't send anybody to hell. They send themselves to hell. God doesn't send them there. They go by rejecting the good shepherd who laid down his life for them. That's how they go to hell. Well, you tell God, I don't want anything you have, fine. Well, then you're going to get hell in the end. You better get all the gusto you can while you're here because that's all you're getting. That's all you're getting, you see? So there's other sheep. The good shepherd says there's more sheep. Thank God that there were more sheep than just the Jewish people. See, Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 16, he says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. See, Jesus said there's other. He was telling the Jews, there's other. I got another, some more people. And they're not the Jewish people that's in this pen right now. There are others. And he was talking about you and I. He was talking about Gentiles. And we see the Gentiles coming in Acts chapter 10. When the Holy Spirit that was poured out on Pentecost was poured out on a bunch of Italian people who were Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. Where the Spirit of God, that's when the apostles knew that the word of God and the gospel was to go to everyone, not just to the Jews. Thank God for that. You can say thank you, Jesus, for that, because that's why we're here. So Jesus said there's more that's got to come in. He was talking about us Gentiles, and he said they shall be one flock. See, the church should contain Jews and Gentiles. the black people, the white people, the yellow people, the red people, the rich people, the poor people, the educated people, the uneducated people. That's the church. That's what God called. Whosoever, care where you've been, what you are, what color you are, really doesn't matter. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the end of that. And guess what? We as a church, we are called to love them. When they come in here, I don't care where they came from. I don't care what they look like. They come in here and confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. We have to put our arms around them like the good shepherd and love them. That's what the church is all about. That's why we're here. There's going to be people coming in here that's been hurting. We got to reach the hurting people. We have to do it. This coming year, I'm believing God, we're going to do it. It's something we are going to. There are going to be people sitting in these empty seats to the point where we got to get out of here, where we're not going to be able to hold them anymore. Why? Because the love of the good shepherd is going to have to flow through us to them. See, as Christ, who's the good shepherd, will do, the one who showed the ultimate love by dying on a cross so that we would have eternal life. In John chapter 10, verse 17, Jesus said this, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. Nobody took his life. He took it. He let him take it. He laid down his life so he could take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. So here's the kicker to all of this. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? You talking about a good shepherd? He ain't going to hold anything back from you. He will graciously give us all things. Stand with me right now.